What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler. You're serious today.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. And we have the news coming at you 5 days a week. Okay, anyways,
come on.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It's Wednesday. Every single Wednesday we do a What Could Have Been Wednesday, where we talk about who and what could have happened if something turned out a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Today we got an interesting one for you. It is a future speculative what could be.
There's only so many
Jerome Robinson.
There's only so many things you can go back and try and change.
There really is. There really is.
I mean, we can only look at
when
the
you
PG
do it once
trade.
A week. Yeah. When you do it once a week, it's a lot. Anyways, but we're going to be kicking things off with a little bit of a chat, a breakdown, if you will.
Fit talk on
Kawhi. Looking forward to that. I see shot charts in the notes. And
oh, yeah.
You know that I'm ready to go. And then we're going to wrap up with shavings. It comes at you every day.
Oh, yeah.
It's everything else going on in Clipperland. So stay tuned for all of that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so there was an interesting note. Jackie McMullen ruffled some feathers with an appearance on, I think it was First Take.
It wasn't Windhorse?
No, it was Jackie McMullen who said this.
I know, but she's on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. She said that Paul George and Kawhi are like easily insertable stars into any offense.
Agreed. Could not agree more.
Agreed as well. Compared to a player, she referenced specifically AD, where you kind of need to integrate his playing style into your game plan more.
Yeah, because he's a diva.
Yeah. Part of me kind of doesn't agree with that.
I'm just
because
kidding. I hate the word diva. I'm sorry. Strike that from the podcast. Sorry, you continue.
Part of me doesn't agree with that because, like, I mean, putting anyone next to LeBron, I think it's going to be pretty easy to integrate their games.
Oh, wow. I actually disagree with this.
Really?
I think the opposite.
Wow.
I think it's harder to integrate people's individual games. You have to cater your game to LeBron.
Well, you're on the Jackie Mack attack.
And I don't think that that's a negative on LeBron at all. I think the opposite. I think it speaks to his greatness.
How good he is. Yeah, that's true.
That you adjust to him, and generally you win.
That's fair. Her point being that PG and Kawhi are the, you know, kind of best readily inserted elite players in the game. Eye test would suggest 100%.
Yeah.
Right? These guys, these are two guys. Kawhi, obviously, we knew before the season his game was going to work with our team.
Oh, for sure.
And then you add Paul George, which is almost, I don't want to say, I mean, they're very similar players.
That's like, the thing with the, just going along with this, like the Paul George trade to me is one of the, like, most and least surprising things, like if that makes sense. Like,
for sure.
It was most surprising just in that I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
But when I looked at the player that we were getting, it was the least surprising
as a
Clippers move.
Yes, it made total sense. The argument against this, a bunch of people were kind of mad on it, was I saw people on Twitter knocking the isolation dependence of Kawhi.
Okay.
Which I was just woke up hot at, you know. I had steam coming out of my ears. So last year, Kawhi was 13th in the league in ISO percentage. Also, by the way, everyone is light years behind James Harden in this.
Yeah, so ISO percentage, this is referring to the percentage of his total offensive possessions that are in ISO.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Which was 16, he was 13th in ISO percentage with 16.5% of his stuff coming from ISO, which is only 3.3 field goal attempts per game.
That's fair. Yeah.
It's actually gone up every year he's been in the league, which makes sense given how good 100%. He is.
Also, if you look at the styles of offense,
yeah,
the way
changed.
Like the way they've played versus old Spurs ball.
Yes, for sure. The more egalitarian system.
Yeah.
Paul George was 29th in ISO percentage.
Okay.
With 13.4, equaling for his version of about just under 3 field goal attempts per game, 2.9. Some of that.
Wow, that's a huge drop off. Like he's 16 players lower for like a 0.4 difference. Less than half a possession a game.
Some of that has to do with playing with Westbrook, who was 10th.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But Paul George's highest year ever was 17.5% when he was with Indy in 16-17, which back then, as you just mentioned, how the game changes, was still just 3.2 field goal attempts per game.
Yeah.
So he had a much, you know, heftier percentage-wise. As a team, the Clippers were 12th in ISO.
Okay.
Which is 6.4% or 5.9 field goals a game from the ISO set.
From the entire team.
Yes, according to stats on NBA.com.
Okay.
So
interesting. I thought for some reason that we were even lower than that. But that 12th in the league, 6.4%, that sounds
right around the average, yeah. So we're probably obviously not going to be just adding their combined 6.5 field goal attempts to our ISO stuff. But we can assume it's going to go up a little bit. Because we can kind of rely on these guys a little more, I think we consume. I'm not going to think, you know, we might be a top 10 ISO team. I don't think we're even going to sniff top 5 based on how ball movement looks, especially when we got the pick and roll on the second unit and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The bottom line is I don't think the ISO argument really holds up because it doesn't seem to be that big of an issue right now looking at these stats.
So I guess my question on this whole ISO thing is, are people insinuating that a higher ISO dependence makes it harder for you to slot in with other teams?
Yes, which part of me doesn't really understand.
I think that's incorrect.
Yes, I don't get that either because...
If you can create your own offense, you'll work in any offense.
Yes, and these guys aren't even doing it at that high of a rate.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a James Harden thing where they're getting literally hundreds of unassisted makes. It's this... Yeah, I think this perceived ISO... ness of Kawhi especially, it's a very misguided thing.
Well, I think it's interesting. I'd be curious to take a look at these playoff numbers because I think that that's more what people are talking about. Recency bias, but I would also like to stress that playoff basketball is a little bit different.
Oh yeah, everyone knows what you're bringing, and sometimes you just need your guy to go get a bucket.
I agree. I think it's just different than any 2-game basketball. It's like why a lot of times I don't cite playoff stats unless we're talking specific playoffs.
Yeah.
It's just different. It's a different game.
For sure. And if you look at their shot charts, I mean, Kawhi's is peppered with shots everywhere.
Oh,
pretty much every section of a shot chart, he is right below league average or obviously pretty high above it. Whereas Paul George last year, especially, most of his damage came from beyond the arc.
Yep.
That's where he was doing. So if you look at that, that's the perfect pair to add to this roster.
I agree.
As a guy who can score well above average anywhere inside the arc.
Yeah.
And then a guy who is a top 5 shooter from outside who's used to playing that style that he had last year with Westbrook. So, and if you look at our dual scoring threats last year, our real at the beginning of the season, it was Gallo and Toby.
Uh-huh.
Who stepped on each other's toes a little bit. In terms of how they got their buckets and stuff like
For sure. Yeah.
These guys don't do that. This is the opposite of that.
I agree.
These guys can meld in. You know, maybe Kawhi is feeling it from beyond the arc. And Paul George is like, well, maybe I do need to do a little more slash or something like that.
Yeah.
But it opens up our offense even more. We haven't talked about the defensive stuff yet. But it opens up the offense so much more with these two guys being our heavy lifters once they're both healthy.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I was just looking at it with that. Because, I mean, it's kind of crazy that other than the pick and roll from Lou and Trez, Tobias and Gallo, that's who we needed to be big.
For sure.
And just replacing it with these complementary styles of such elite guys.
And I would guess that, you know, the team would take a loss with Gallo's ISO play. Tobias's
borderline.
I would guess less so.
Less so for sure.
I would say most of his field goals from the eye test, a lot more of them came assisted.
Yeah.
And I think that that's been an issue for him in Philly as well. That
for
he's
sure.
Not necessarily always creating his own shot.
Yep.
But yeah, so I would think that the overall ISO would increase. The only thing that I would be hesitant of to thinking that it would maybe stay the same, I don't think it'll go down at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I think maybe it would stay the same would be just less of a reliance on Lou Will, I think.
Yeah, and we've talked about his... I was on Talk Hoops podcast, and I was talking about how everyone's numbers might go down, but everyone's efficiency could go up.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah, hopefully. I mean, it's all kind of set up for that. But, yeah, I thought it was interesting. I think it's funny to think that it's hard to integrate these two guys into this roster. It's mostly what I was just upset about.
Yeah, that's absurd.
It's such a hard argument to poke holes in.
It's just absurd to me. They're great two-way players. And on the defensive end, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find two guys who could fit into any scheme that well.
Yeah.
And offensively, yeah, I mean, like, they just both – they're. I mean, Kawhi, great on ball. I mean, Paul George underrated with the
absolutely.
Ball in his hands. You know, he can run pick and roll. He can score off the dribble. He can create his own shot. He doesn't just need to be like camping out somewhere waiting for somebody to feed to him. So, yeah, I got to agree with you. I I'm hot now.
I know. I didn't mean to get everyone riled up. We'll talk about defense later in the week at some point, but Justin Russo had a great thing too. He's really excited to see Paul George kind of play free safety in Doc's and Rex's defense. So I'm so jacked to get into some defensive numbers. Mm-hmm. We're going to be nasty on defense.
Yeah.
Coming up after this, we got a what could be Wednesday.
What?
But first, we haven't eaten yet at our office.
No, I'm starving.
They're withholding our food because trivia didn't go well. You know what we should do?
What's that?
Treat ourselves to the meal we deserve and have our favorite restaurants come right to us with DoorDash.
I'm hooked. What do you got?
I'm going to order 15 corn dogs from Wiener Schnitzel, and it's going to cost me $3. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON, all capital letters, one word.
All right. So, what could be?
Dude, if Michael McDonald got on this, that'd be a good get. So this was a what could be. You like this. You're much less down on this player than I think I am, and a lot of people are.
Oh, yeah.
What could be for Jerome's season in general?
All right. Do you want to start with some numbies, or do you want me to just...
I want to start with a bigger picture thing.
What do you got?
I will say it feels like...
MVP. Yeah. Agreed.
He's getting lost in the discussion a little bit, given his strong, you know, burst that he had in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The 8-point performances were simply electrifying. But last year, there was a log jam.
36 numbers? Insane.
Last year, there was a log jam for him to get minutes, as we all know. It was AB, Bev, Lou, and Shea essentially in front of him.
Yeah.
This year, it's Bev and
Shamit.
Lou.
I would toss Shamit.
And Shamit, yeah. This year, it's Bev, Lou with Shamit and Mann getting a bunch of praise from the front office. Is there going to... It just kind of begs the question. I feel like he's been kind of not screwed. He's had a lot of hurdles in terms of personnel in front of him so far up to this point in his career. Mm-hmm. Are we going to see a similar distribution of G League stuff as we did last year? Or do you think he hurdles over, I mean, at least Mann or something like that?
So, TBD.
He's gotten kind of the short end of the stick.
A little tough to say. He has gotten short end of the stick. The thing I feel like I always have to emphasize, though, is we didn't get a good shake last year. He was injured.
For sure.
He did not get a whole lot of playing time.
Yeah, and the logjam.
And the logjam, yeah, for sure. So I think, honestly, a really interesting thing for me, and this is not from digging into any advanced numbers, just from watching the games, his defense has jumped out a lot to me.
Think it's gotten better?
I do. I think it's gotten a lot better.
Okay.
And I think that under the guidance of a Patrick Beverley kind of guy,
another year
you're looking at, and a healthy offseason, hopefully a full healthy season, you're looking at a guy that projects to at least defend at a plus level, and then due to his physical tools, he has a tighter dribble than Shamit as well. I would say he has some abilities to get to the rim.
Yeah.
And in the draft, like, one of his most hailed things was the outside shooting. Smooth release, solid percentage.
That still looks good. That looks good in the G League.
Never hit that in the pros.
For sure.
Like, the percentages aren't what we thought they would be until the playoffs, in which they did improve. So I don't think that we're going to see a huge jump in his minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like, and this is like my personal like, I would like to see that number around 8 a game.
8 minutes a game?
Yeah, in the regular
season.
I think
that's fair. How many appearances?
Soaking up 8 minutes.
He just had 33 last year.
I mean, I would like to see that over 60.
Damn. You're all in on the Jerome train.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, so, yeah. Long story short, I do think that Pat Beverley is the kind of guard that he should be looking at.
Definitely.
I think that he should be soaking up everything that Beverley does, finding spots to knock down easy shots from the corner or outside.
Hit your spots, be efficient.
Able to get to the rim when you need to, because Pat, you know, never been hailed for having, like, hyper-athleticism. Dude can get to the rim. He's got these nice little teardrop floaters and stuff. He can finish with either hand.
We see him practice them every game.
Oh, I love it. I love it, and I love to see it in the game. And then just the defense. I think if he could take one thing from Pat, if he could learn that, he's looking at a solid NBA career. I'm serious.
Great.
I mean,
I believe you. It's going to be interesting.
He's going to be different. Sorry to interrupt.
No, do your thing.
I think that here's what's maybe disappointing for Clipper Nation, and I'll cop to the same thing. Like, he doesn't look like the player we thought he would look like.
He got drafted in a spot that clouded our minds.
Yes.
I think is what is my personal thing.
I just also think play style wise, we had a different view of what he was going to be. We thought that he was going to be Landry Shamet before we had Landry Shamet. And
wow,
I don't think that's
a good
the
call.
Kinda,
he was touted as a big scorer. And yeah, that's a really good call, man.
And I don't think that he is that player, but I don't think that that's a bad thing, and I don't think that's a reason to give up on him.
That's a good call, man. Whew. I can't disagree with any of those points. What's he got to do in preseason to show that he's ready for more first team time? Just build on those things.
I think if he's able to play high level defense in, you know, like preseason games when the rest of the guys are not going to be given a defense, probably.
Yeah.
Pat will, but
of course.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Trez
but
will.
I mean, like, no one's playing their hardest defense generally in the preseason. Everybody's kind of taking a chill. But if he could step out on that end, as well as just be able to, I mean, you know, create the kind of motion that Landry Shamet creates, like just being able to move around and knock down some open shots. I don't even think that he needs to handle or facilitate, and that will be enough of a showing to get him in the rotation.
That's where I think it could go wrong, is if he tries to force distributive responsibilities and stuff like that. Because then that just leads to turnovers, and if there's one thing that Doc does not like, we saw him yank Shea for it a couple of times last year. You make a bad turnover, you're going to the bench, which is a hard thing to argue against.
So, and I think that... And you can disagree with me on this. I think that just with with what we have on the first unit, and then that second unit having obviously Lou Will, having like a Rodney Magruder, I don't think that we're necessarily looking for guys to stand out as on ball guys. I know that's what the organization thinks.
In terms of defenders?
No, on ball, like offensive guys.
Absolutely.
Like,
no, I agree with that.
I don't think that, I think that the organization thinks that Terrence Mann might be able to grow into a role like that. But
he's pushing him a lot.
If you're a ball dominant guard, unless you're one of the names that I've already mentioned, you're looking at third team minutes.
Absolutely.
So,
no, I agree with that.
Like, I don't think that that's maybe the skill that he should be focusing on in the offseason. Sorry, that was an aside.
No, man, it's all good. I mean, I think the defense is going to be big. I think you're right about that. He's a good talker when he's on the court.
He communicates.
He's always communicating. He's always trying to get guys locked in and stuff like that. It's going to be interesting. I bet we're going to see...
He looks more like Brock from Pokemon than any other player on the team, so that's a plus.
He looks bigger.
He is bigger.
I will say, though, the size that Man put on, with how much we've been talking about... So how much they've been talking about Man... If Man starts picking up some of these things a little quicker.
Oh, yeah.
Or gets in Bev's hip pocket a little quicker or something like that, there could maybe be a jump. But I'm going to take your point. That could just mean Jerome is a project guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was also billed as that.
I think.
As a project guy.
I think also, if you're looking at the future of what this lineup could look like, let's say 2 years,
Interesting amount of time.
You know, two to 4 years, who knows? I think a second unit backcourt of Terrence Mann and Jerome Robinson at the two is pretty tantalizing for what those projects could end up being.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
And speaking of the size thing, I mean, Mann just has a bigger frame than Jerome.
And
like,
he's put some weight onto it.
Yeah, there's just no way around that.
It's going to be interesting to see. I'm really excited for Jerome's year. Again, I feel like he's been kind of getting lost in the shuffle.
I agree.
With everything. But it could be like a Terrence Mann situation where he's not getting pushed as much in the media because maybe there's some low-key stuff going on. Some good stuff.
Yeah, could be. Who knows?
Outlook for the season, you think it'll be a better year for Jerome than last year?
I mean, I think it has to be.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, if he was to somehow make a regression...
I'd be bummed. I don't think that's going to happen at all. I firmly expect
I'd
him
be very
to,
bummed.
To improve.
Yeah, the only way to me that he could make a regression is if there's just not enough playing minutes for him.
Yeah.
And I think that
He will get in the G League.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks we could see a pretty heavy, like you just said about that backcourt possibility, Jerome, Mann, Fee in the G League.
You don't think that they pull those guys up when we have our guys resting?
I think they will when they have our guys resting.
Yeah,
but with all the load management kind of dismissiveness that I feel like
the Clippers have been
saying.
Load management? Never heard of it.
It's very much that vibe. Like, he's going to play around 70 games. I hope it's below 70 for Kawhi. I will continue to hope that no matter how good he is playing.
I hope he plays 70 and we go 70 for 70 over those stretches.
Yeah, me too. Coming up after this, we got a quick shaving segment.
Digging around the old shaving
so
drawer.
So loud. So this is early Clippers related. We were just kind of talking about this.
What show do you think this is?
The level of trash talking in the WNBA that has been on display recently in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Love.
Better than the NBA.
I would say the push-ups thing trumps even the...
it's fantastic.
Not trumps. Is better than the...
appreciate that.
The Damian Lillard wave goodbye to the bench.
Yeah. Which is... I would say is kind of the height of what playoff wrestling was last year. Yeah. If you guys missed it, I'll break this down. Aces center Liz Cambridge in a game against the Mystics had 28 points. After the interview, she said, if the Mystics post can't handle it, get in the weight room or get out of the post. The next day, the Mystics eliminated Liz's team, and Natasha Cloud flexed and then did push-ups right as the final whistle blew.
Love.
Look, that is the level of shit-talking and pettiness that has the...
I wouldn't call that pettiness. That's competitiveness.
That's fair. It has the perfect... It's not extra. It's about everything that happened on the court. It's a public FU in the most legit way you can possibly do one.
Oh, yeah. It's a very diplomatic way.
And it's both, on both sides, it's so well executed.
Yes.
I want this level in the NBA. The diss track battle between Lillard and Bagley.
I never listened.
It was fine. It was like an all in good fun type thing. This feels like real vitriol that is contained within the competitive environment.
Yeah. I like
it. Which I just want more of.
Yeah.
They got to step it up. I think Patrick Beverley is going to be out of his mind this year.
Oh, man.
And it's going to be great.
I can't wait. Beverley in the locker room, like when he's getting pumped up for a game.
Dude, that night before the Lakers game was incredible.
Yeah.
I was ready to run through all the concrete walls in the Staples Center. Do we think any of Bev is going to rub off on Kawhi? We got a bunch of talkers on this team. And the Raptors didn't have as many talkers.
Yes. The answer is yes.
I don't think it's going to be extreme.
It's just like, I just don't know how you're on the court with like Pat and Trez, and that sort of mood isn't infectious.
Yeah, because he's been on the Spurs, which isn't it. They don't talk very much.
They communicate.
The Raptors, not necessarily the biggest shit-talking team.
No. That's not really like their brand.
No, they're nice. It's a nice Canadian basketball team.
Yes.
Who was the best team in the league last year. But with our guys, I think there's going to be, look, I referenced this almost at least daily in my personal conversations. We already saw the shirt he was wearing at the press conference.
It's true.
He is very much feeling himself.
Very much.
I hope we see.
And is sponsored by Affliction.
I hope we see fiery Kawhi, dude.
I love it.
God, that's going to be great. What if we see Afro Kawhi at some point on the court? That would
I don't think people are ready for it.
That would destroy...
I don't think people are ready for it.
NBA Twitter.
Yeah.
That would make Twitter crash.
Yeah.
Which would be good for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm just getting excited for basketball.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, we're just a day over 2 weeks away from Clippers' first preseason game at home.
Which we will be at.
That is true.
Thankfully. We're also going to be doing... We are lucky enough to go to Media Day.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
We have to drive to Playa Vista to go. Very much looking forward to it. Going to get some snacks for the road trip.
Yeah. Beef jerky.
Beef jerky, for sure. Peanuts, no problem. We're going to be doing a live stream on Sunday afterwards.
Yeah. It's car-based live stream.
It's going to be me driving and Will in the passenger seat streaming. So, yeah, tune in on that. We'll have more details. It's going to happen right after Media Day.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we're going to have a Thirsty Thursday.
That's right.
And whatever else happens, feels like another slow week, if I'm being honest.
I know, but guess what? Only 15 more of these.
Only 15 more of these, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Thanks for making the live stream so awesome yesterday.
It was great.
It was fantastic.
Thanks for the lively conversation. It was awesome.
Always good. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for tuning in.